This is a hypnosis recording. In this file, I'll bring you more in touch with some animal instincts. Something that will make you want to howl in response to howling. That's all it will do. If you do not want to go into a deep hypnotic trance, then stop listening to this file now. If you do want to be deeply hypnotized and receptive to the suggestions I have outlined, then continue listening and we will begin. Since this is about hypnosis, we can start by imagining being hypnotized. You're laying against a tree. It's a broad, tall tree, and it's raining. It's just a little bit of rain today, and you're sitting under the tree for protection. The tree provides some shelter, but you still get a little wet. And as you sit here on this cool rainy day, a large werewolf comes up to you. Humanoid, furry, canine. And the werewolf approaches you, and it looks so very warm. Somehow, it's quite dry, despite the weather. And it sits by you in a very canine way, and it looks into your eyes. And as you stare into the eyes of this werewolf, you find your eyes getting tired, and you feel as though something inside the werewolf is speaking directly to your mind. And as your eyes slowly come to a close, you can blink, open your eyes, and make yourself comfortable and ready to be hypnotized. However you are, sitting or laying down, get into a comfortable position and close your eyes. Feel yourself relaxing and focus all of your attention on the sound of my voice. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. Breathe in and out. Good. Very good. I want you to think about times that you have listened to other calming voices. Perhaps a time that you were in a car, listening to the radio late at night, and the radio announcer speaks to you in a smooth, deep voice. Good evening. It's raining today on the road. Drive safely. And really, you're so focused on where you're going. You don't pay very much attention at all to what's being said. You're still listening, but it all seems to fade to the background as you just are so focused. And I'm not sure if you know that when driving, many people enter a hypnotic trance. And this trance comes from the deep and intense focus that they get when they focus on driving to wherever it is that they're going. This same sort of dissociated, relaxed trance comes upon people when they stare out the window on a train or in a bus, or in someone else's car, just waiting to go on this journey to wherever they are, lost deep in thoughts as their mind wanders and their music or the chatter fades into the background. I wonder if you can allow my words and my voice to penetrate deep into your mind the way that you allow the announcer on the radio to seep into your mind without even your conscious noticing, as I speak directly to your unconscious, and you access that relaxed state as you simply let go and let all of your worries fade into the background, simply receptive and willing to go on this journey with me to wherever it is that we're going, letting me take the lead and lead you down into a deep hypnotic trance. Scientists have predicted that most people fall into one of three categories when it comes to hypnosis. 60% of people are roughly hypnotizable to the same extent as each other. They are the average hypnotic subject. 20% of people are a bit more difficult to hypnotize, although it's still possible. And another 20% are highly hypnotizable people. Traits of highly hypnotizable people include people who tend to daydream and space out a lot, people who tend to get lost in their thoughts, thinking about all sorts of fantasies that they would like to experience, people who listen to a lot of music or podcasts, people who tend to find themselves hyper-focusing on a task that's in front of them, or have trouble focusing until they hyper-focus. People who really just tend to go with the flow and get along with a lot of people and like to go where the party is going. I wonder if you can think about if any of these traits apply to you. And as you relax and as you keep listening to what I'm saying, you might notice that all of the tension in your shoulders has gone down, and you might notice how your breathing has slowed and how perhaps you haven't been moving much as you've simply been listening to my voice and letting me lead a one-sided conversation. And the signs that we look for to see if someone is going into hypnosis is that gradual coming of stillness, that lack of desire to move, that listening, that focus on what the hypnotist is saying, and yet that dissociation, that spacing out in daydreaming state, that slight detachment from reality. Some subjects find themselves getting a bit confused. They're not really sure what the hypnotist is going on about, but they listen anyway. They listen, but they don't quite focus, but they do focus. They focus quite a lot, and yet they don't think too much about what's being said. They listen, but they don't think. They let the hypnotist think, and they just kind of let the hypnotist go on about whatever it is that the hypnotist is going on about. The subject, you, have decided that you're going to go into a hypnotic trance for me. You're going to let yourself relax. You're going to let all of the tension in your shoulders go away. You're going to let your eyes stay closed. You're going to let me lead things. And so really, what matters is that you just allow this to happen. As we return to thinking about that forest, the rain is coming to a stop and the sun is starting to come through. You're starting to warm up, as you may have noticed that at some point while you weren't paying attention, you came to have your head resting on the shoulder of the werewolf that came to sit next to you. In fact, you might notice that you dozed off at some point while looking into the werewolf's eyes. And now, as the clouds are clearing, you and the werewolf stand up together. The werewolf stands first, offers a paw, and helps you stand. And you start to go for a walk through the forest. I wonder if you can smell the scent of the sky and the air after it rains. to feel that dampness in the air as you walk through this forest and hear all of the little creatures in the forest. And you follow this werewolf wherever it is that they're going as they walk down winding paths through the woods. And as different noises are made in the bushes, the werewolf looks sharply. And you find yourself following its gaze to wherever it is that it's looking. You're sure that whatever the werewolf deems important is probably something you should pay attention to. And so you wander through the woods, listening for animals and smelling all the scents of the forest. The ways that canines perceive the world is primarily through scent and sound. The vision of the canine's not particularly good, they're colorblind, and your eyes are closed right now, so even though you might visualize this forest, I don't think you would say that vision is your primary sense. But you are listening to me, and you are smelling the air after it rains as you follow along down these winding paths of the forest, allowing yourself to perceive things the ways that canines perceive. And while you haven't quite looked at yourself, given that your eyes are closed, you may find that you and the werewolf have quite a lot in common. You're just sort of following wherever your instincts take you. And as the sun begins to set and the sun goes down along the horizon, as you sink down into a deeper hypnotic trance, the moon starts to rise. And as the moon rises, you see how bright and full it is. As the ground has come to dry, you start to feel a bit warmer in this humid night. You feel warm despite the fact that it is nighttime, and you might be aware that you feel a bit furrier than you did before. And your werewolf companion looks up at the sky and sees the moon and lets out a mighty howl. You hear this howl. It's a very human howl. It is a werewolf, after all. And when you hear this howl, this you find in yourself, you feel in those instincts you've been following as you follow my voice, an urge to reply, an urge to follow what your werewolf instincts tell you to do. And so, you feel this urge stronger to howl back. And so the next time you hear howling, you're going to find yourself howling back now, at a volume that is safe and appropriate for where you are, but that is very satisfying for those werewolf instincts. As your werewolf companion looks up at the moon and howls again, awoo! And you now are howling. Good dog, very good. Awoo! Good dog, that's right. Every time you hear a howl from a human, or from a dog, or a werewolf, you feel that urge to howl back. Oh, ooh, oh, oh, oh! It's so natural to follow those canine instincts to howl. When you hear a howl, you howl back at a volume that is safe and appropriate for the setting that you're in. And you know that if you're alone, that if there's really no one to hear you, you can howl at your full mode. most satisfying volume. But that if you're in public, if there's people around, you can get that urge out very easily by just whispering to yourself a gentle awu. Just saying that word to yourself, awu, can also let out those urges you feel when you hear a howl. You don't always have to give a full-throated howl, because the word awu is also something that can stand in for a howl. But you know that when someone else says awu, you will still feel that same urge, that urge to say back awu. So the next time I say it, you'll say it. Awu. Good dog. Awu. Awu. Such a good dog you are. Such a good werewolf. Got those good canine instincts. And this goes for writing, too. If you see the word awu in a message sent to you, or in a post online, just by itself, not just mentioning it, but someone specifically writing out awu, they are awooing in their post or in their message. They're going awu, they are howling. And you recognize this as a howl, and you will feel that urge to howl. And if you know them enough, if you feel comfortable, you can reply to them with awu. You can awu back. You'll feel that urge to awu back at them, however long feels safe and appropriate. If you get stuck for too long, you can always break the cycle, but so long as it feels right, you can just keep a-wooing, you can keep howling. And if the person who said a-woo is not someone it's very appropriate to be replying to, you can just say a-woo to yourself. You can always say a-woo to yourself, or you can make your own post to a-woo there instead. What's important is that somehow, in some capacity, you express that canine instinct. And it doesn't really matter if you identify as a dog or as canine. You could be a bird. You could be anything. You could be a human being. But you still have, from now on, from now so long as this continues to be a pleasurable, enjoyable experience for you, you will have this urge, this one instinct that you've borrowed, that you've retained from your canine companions, to howl when you hear howling, to awu when you awu. Indeed, a new rule governing your behavior is see awu, say awu. Whether it's out loud, whether it's in writing, whether it's under your breath, a quiet whispered howl. It's just an urge. You'll feel that need to express, and it's going to feel so very good when you do. It feels incredible every time you let yourself cave in to that canine instinct, whether it's your only canine instinct or one of many, that instinct to say a woo when you see a woo, that instinct to howl back when you hear a howl, to reply to howls with howling, to be that reply dog, to be that wolf, to be that howler, that one who awoos. It just feels good, and that's how it is from now on. So long as it is safe and appropriate, you can always find ways to get out this urge, even if you have to wait until you get to a place of privacy to let out that urge to howl. And if at any point in your life this starts to become unpleasant for you, starts to be something that really makes you unhappy, it can simply fade away. This instinct doesn't have to be with you forever. But so long as it continues to be pleasurable, enjoyable, it will happen. It will be a strong, incredibly irresistible urge to howl. And now that you've allowed these lessons, this experience to sink in, you can hug your canine companion, you can hug the werewolf friend of yours, as the moon sets and the sun begins to rise, and you and your werewolf just start to come to return to normal and how you are in a normal waking daylight world. So on the count of five, you will rise back up from trance. You'll return to a normal waking state of mind. My words will simply be however you would normally process them. They won't be seeping directly to your unconscious mind if you're not in trance. You'll wake up, you'll feel refreshed, you'll feel good, you'll feel back to your senses, the leader of your own mind. However much of this you remember is really up to yourself. If you want to remember every single detail, then you will remember with absolute clarity. But if you think it's very attractive to forget everything that's happened, to allow it to fade into obscurity, to not really even realize why you feel this strong canine instinct, then you can allow all the memories of this experience to be coated in a slippery soap, so that when you try to think about what happened during this time, you simply find your thoughts slipping away to some other topic you could be thinking about instead. Either way is completely and totally valid. So now, it's time to wake you up. To wake you up again on the count of five. Completely back to normal, except for your new canine instinct. With one, feeling aware of your body again. Two, aware of your surroundings and where you really are. Three, fog lifting from your mind, thinking your own thoughts again clearly. 4, feeling yourself moving, your body stretching, eyes fluttering open, completely thinking for yourself, basically awake, and 5, wide awake, again, back to normal. This has been a hypnotic experience put together by me, Mutt. If you liked this, let me know. I love getting feedback. You can find me online at cacklejackal at monsterpit.net. Or on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/jackalmutt. Thank you for listening, and have a good rest of your life.